This is Will's Band of the Week for July 1st, 2018. Welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with David from the New York City Bureau.
Hello, hello.
I think it's working. We have a new version of Skype. I think they've introduced a little bit, a feature of the new Skype is a little bit more background noise. I mean, I think they thought probably there wasn't quite enough background hiss noise, so they thought they needed to upgrade that so it would sound more DIY. Like, so people probably think they're listening to a cassette right now.
Right, it was sounding too clean and antiseptic, so they had to muddy it up a little, right?
Right, well, like a punk rock thing for Skype to do. They probably have a bunch of punk rockers on their executive board.
That makes sense.
Yeah, but we're coming through pretty good, loud and clear, I think. So if people are in their car, they won't be able to tell. But if they're in a pristine, quiet environment, then they'll be able to hear the new tape hiss feature. Maybe I have there's probably a setting, right? That says tape hiss, and I have that on, and I just didn't realize that you could turn it off.
That could be.
Yeah. Okay, this is a weird week, and I think I already recorded a podcast with Grant, Grant's right. Underground, but I think that one's going to go up second of the next two podcasts, so this one will be the next one. So, but everybody can be aware that we're going to be ready to rock with another one next week, even though I will be out of town and unable to record a podcast. But I'll be doing some scouting. So maybe we'll throw some photos up there on the Twitter feed. You know, our Twitter feed has probably, I don't know, what, 2,000 or 3,000 people, probably. They're just lurking, though. I mean, they don't want to know. They don't want us to know that they're followers. I'm sure they're out there, but, you know, I think only like 100 people, maybe even less than that, I don't know, are admitting to following our Twitter. Twitter is not really viral at this point.
Not yet, no. But it's been more active recently. It's had a few videos and pictures on it. So, yeah, exactly. It's coming along.
Right.
It's a work in progress.
Yeah, you got to take it slowly. Got to be patient, right?
Right.
So, well, we did get this actually, you know, we've gotten a few people who do contact us through Twitter, right? So, I mean, that's pretty cool. And I was thinking,
and then there are all the emailers, which, as you know, there are far too many to really, you know, sift through every week. But yeah,
right. We were talking about that, how time consuming it is for me to go through the hundreds of emails we get every week and try to just sort of parse it down to the best ones. But
ever since that intern left, we've pretty much fallen behind.
It's been tough, yeah. But we did get someone who is going to be awarded the mailbag jingle this week. So here it is.
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's time for the
mailbag!
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 Yeah, we've got a mailbag. Oh,
that last mailbag is really aggressive.
It is, yeah.
That's is that Nicholas?
That's Wilson.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
He's an aggressive guy. You got to watch out for Wilson.
Okay.
Yeah. So the person who deserves our discussion on the mailbag this week is Greg from New Hampshire. And Barrett reminded us that Greg actually, this is actually kind of a black mark. I think he defended the Grateful Dead, which I, of course, would never do. But in the past, he has defended the Grateful Dead, which Barrett thought was a good thing. So that's fine. People can disagree. But this week he got into contact regarding snail mail, right? We had a little snail mail controversy. I guess we still have that going on a little bit, don't we?
Yes.
And so Greg contacted us this week, and this is what he said. As a loyal listener, I have to know why Chris is anti-snail mail. I feel the noose of popularity tighten and my indie cred suffocating. But why? The snail mail record is great. What's the controversy? I know she sounds like other bands. but it's other bands I like. Please explain. So while Chris has been conspicuously silent, you know, he's not going to answer to anybody, you know. So that's where that stands. No satisfaction in terms of the response.
I'm with Greg. I don't understand whether he's just anti the band or anti the publicity around the band.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it a combination of the two?
Yeah. I don't know. I think he doesn't click with the music. But I think Snail Mail is great. So
I just think Chris should be aware that, you know, we may be featuring Greg instead of Chris.
That could happen.
Podcasts,
I know, you can be replaced.
If this continues.
I know, if you're not careful about it, if you're not a tastemaker like we are, then it can cause problems. Well, what else is there to say about that? I know that Chris is on record also as not liking The National. A lot of us like The National, and he's just never liked The National, just even from the beginning. Well, actually, you know what? I think I might have met him at a National show in 2007. He didn't say he hated that one. I think he was okay with them, but then he just never got on board. So, well, some bands just click with some people and not others. That's my simple explanation.
Well, it is a simple explanation, but it's also the real explanation, because there's no way really to explain that. I mean, as Greg says, yes, Snail Mail sounds like other bands that he likes. And sometimes a band will sound like other bands that you like, and still you don't like them.
Right.
Or you find them completely derivative, or, you know, it's like they just pass you by somehow.
Right.
So there's just no accounting. It's a mystery.
Right. I think we decided that Snail Mail has majority popularity among the podcast people here. But obviously it's not universal.
And I noted in an email earlier that, first of all, Always has the good taste to have Snail Mail opening for them in Brooklyn in the fall.
Right.
And I already actually got tickets to that show, and it was a two-night stint, which is pretty unusual to start with in a small venue. And now it's a three-night stint. I don't know. They may keep adding nights. So both Always and Snail Mail are on the rise.
You could do that in New York City, be like artist in residence, right?
It's verging on that.
But don't you think that at that point already, I mean, I know Always has been doing really well, but with all the publicity, don't you think maybe Snail Mail is already bigger than Always in terms of, draw for a live show?
They may be drawing to that.
I wonder if they'll change the order of the bands. I mean, I've seen that happen before. They book a show, and then like 3 months later, it's like, the opener now is the big band. So now they have to change the order that they play.
Yeah.
Which it seems like kind of bad. They should just leave it, you know. People can take off after the band they've seen that they like. That's fine.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm a promoter, I'm looking at Always doing three nights in a small venue, and I'm thinking, why is this happening? I should have booked them in a larger place.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
But as a listener, I'm happy that didn't happen, because I don't want to see them in that bigger place.
Yeah, I mean, generally,
but the logic would mean they're moving up soon,
right?
They're going to be out of there,
right?
So
generally, the smaller the venue, the better, right? I mean, it's almost without exception.
Oh, absolutely.
In terms of, you know, fan experience.
Yes.
So
and that's why we have to keep searching for new bands, because the ones we like, you know, once we start promoting them, they become so popular that they're playing they're playing the football stadiums, and then we're not interested, right?
Exactly. Yep. We just let them go. It's kind of like having your kid reach the age of majority, and you send them on. So, you know, that's what we do with the bands. Then
Absolutely.
We find other bands to take under our wing. All right. Well, on to the next feature. That doesn't get you in a rock and roll mood, I don't think anything will.
Absolutely.
So, my only live report is my own 15-minute gig. There's not much to report on that other than that it was fun. So even if you get a chance as an aging rocker to play a 15-minute gig, do it because it's fun. That is my live report.
Sounds good.
But you have a real live report or two, apparently.
No, just one.
Only one? All right.
Only one. My son and I went to see Ted Leo and the Pharmacists.
Indie rock veterans.
Yes, very veteran. Been around a long time, but looking and sounding great. So this tour is the, at first I thought it was 10th anniversary, and then I realized, oh my God, no, it's 15th anniversary of, I guess, his most popular album, which is Hearts of Oak. Obviously, that would be 2003. And this was a two-night stint. One night they were devoting, as people do these days, the evening to just doing that album, plus a few, you know, encores or whatnot. And I chose to go to the other evening, which was basically a little bit of everything. It was described as we're going to do things from every period, because that album was, some people love it. It's just not necessarily my favorite. So I thought I'd never seen him before. Kind of a long time fan, not a devoted, fan. Mm-hmm. Just really liked him a lot. Went to see the second night, which is, as I say, a little of every period of the band. And it was great. He looks fabulous. Just has a great sort of aging, but super trim and like an in fighting trim aspect to him. You know, very, very fit, very agile. And what I didn't realize was basically this is one of those shows more for the cult than just, the general audience. In other words, it attracted the people who really, really know the band well. At one point, he said something about, I know I'm going to get a request for, like, the demo version of this song that didn't appear on my second album, or something like that. I mean, it was that kind of thing. Everyone in the front, which is where I was singing along to pretty much every song. And that includes, the 15-year-old albums, right? The 10-year-old albums, the 5-year-old albums, and even the most recent album, which is one I hadn't heard at all. He did a lot of songs from that. And it's actually quite good. Big band. It was either 6 or 7 people. Saxophone. I know we've discussed that recently as an instrument.
Yep.
He has a saxophone player. I think she doubles on tambourine and stuff, but she does play saxophone on. And it was just a very powerful sound. I mean, you got 2 guitars, bass, keyboards, and saxophone, and drums. That's a lot. And it's good. A lot of Pharmacists up there.
Is he? I can't remember where he's from.
Jersey.
So almost a local guy.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly where, but yeah, Jersey boy.
That's another band that I've only followed really loosely, so I don't I haven't immersed myself in any of the albums, but I know I have a friend who totally loves them, and it's a thing where I probably would get into it if I decided to spend the time. So that's pretty cool, though. It's good to hear that he's still rocking and doing well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would recommend it.
Do they have an opener? You got to report on the opener, right?
Yeah, the opener was Jean Grey, who is, she came up as kind of a, an avant-garde rapper, and now she's, I can't even describe what she does. It's a combination of stand-up comedy, rap, soul, kind of a torch song thing, and a lot of audience participation.
So they didn't go for the standard power pop opener.
This was not the standard opener, no, but they worked together a lot. They seem to be a duo in a way. And she also sang with him on a couple of songs. And he sat in on guitar with her for a couple of songs. So, yeah, they're kind of working together.
Well, that's cool. All right. That's a live report you get from New York City, because that's probably not a nationwide tour going on right now, right?
Oh, no. I think he was touring.
Did he have a new album recently? I don't. If he did, I didn't hear about it.
No, as I say, the reason for this was the 15th anniversary of that record. Yeah. I don't even think he toured with the last record, but touring with this concept.
Now I'll find out that he played in my backyard, and I didn't know about it. So indie rock cred
possible
takes a bit of a hit.
Yes.
I did miss the show that came here with Petal and Camp Cope that you told me about like a month ago. And then it was actually the night of the show, and I'm sitting here in Fourth Bedroom Studios. I'm like, oh, that was tonight. Then it was like 8:30, and I'm an aging rocker, and I said, no way. It's too late.
No.
So, man.
You need a little more warning than that.
Yeah, in fact, a little bit more.
I think you need a lot more warning than that.
There was another show, if we're going to talk about aging rockers missing shows. I almost went to see the Posies. Did you ever listen to the Posies?
No.
They were I think they hit their popularity in the 90s, and they were, I'm going to say power poppy, but a little jangle poppy, and maybe sound a little bit like Matthew Sweet, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked them for, you know, a few albums in the 90s.
Right, right.
And I was going to go, and this friend of mine was like, oh, I'll meet you there. Well, he lives about 60 miles away, and he backed out. And then when he backed out, I lost motivation, so I failed to go see the Posies. I think it would have been good. So they're a band from the Pacific Northwest, I believe Seattle, but I'm not positive, but that part of the country. So So people might want to check out the show that I missed. And I can't, they weren't playing just the single album or anything, and I can't remember if it was an anniversary of something. But when you get to be aging rockers, you know, they could have called it the anniversary of something if they wanted to.
I'm sure they could have had a 20th anniversary or something by now, right?
Yeah. I knew a guy who played with them. I knew, and it was like a friend of a friend guy. You know how the social media is these days. So like a guy that I know was in a band with this other guy, and this other guy played some gigs with the Posies like a few years ago. So there, how's that for a brush with fame? I know a guy who knew another guy. That's pretty impressive, right?
2 degrees of separation.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Anything
and
else?
Probably the Posies knew Kurt Cobain, so there you go.
So, yeah, I'm really close then. Yep. Anything else before we get to the music for the week?
No, I did have a joke for you, though, which I lifted from another podcast.
Got to steal those jokes whenever you can.
Well, you know how a group of cows is a herd and a group of fish is a school and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you call a group of white guys?
Indie rockers?
A podcast.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate, I guess.
Generally speaking, yes.
We fit the mold.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
I lifted that from a political podcast, which, guess what? It's a bunch of, they're a little more diverse than that, but they're basically a bunch of white guys.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're just furthering a stereotype as we go. Yes. All right. We have music to talk about. And, let's start with Rolling Blackout's Coastal Fever. How do you even come up with a name like that? I mean, I don't even know how they came up with that. And because they recognize it so long, in a lot of places you see it as Rolling Blackouts CF.
Right.
Just so they don't have to write
the whole
thing out.
Which makes it sound like a football club, except that's backwards.
It does, yeah. And this is another classic where we're talking about a band from Melbourne, and Nicholas is probably just taking a low-key approach because he's probably had them over for, I don't know, grilling steaks, maybe?
Yeah, I think they were at his last barbecue. I think he mentioned that, actually.
Yeah.
There wasn't a whole band. I think the drummer was out of town, but everyone else was there.
That would make sense, yeah. They were probably telling him how much they appreciated being featured on the podcast. I think this is the third time, because they have a couple of EPs that came out in the last, I don't know, I think there was one last year and one in 2015, maybe?
Yeah, I was thinking they were more veteran than they are, because they have been on the podcast.
Right.
And then I looked it up and I realized, oh my God, this is the debut album.
It's the first full-length album. They've just done EPs before. Interestingly, they are on, I'm pretty sure they're on Sub Pop Records in the U.S.
Yes.
So I don't know how often Sub Pop just decides to take an Australian band. But this one's worthy, I think. It's got, it's got the qualities that I like in music a lot. Jangle poppy guitars.
I think they picked well.
Really great bass lines, and they sometimes take a little while to for those melodies to worm their way into your head. That's my experience. But then once they do, they're really good. So the new album is called Hope Downs, and I am going to play a catchy track, number two, Talking Straight. Blackouts, Coastal Fever.
So here's an Australian line for you. I was on the internet. I was on Twitter. There was an American writer who was going over to Australia and wanted to know where the hip neighborhoods were in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where's the Williamsburg of Sydney or whatnot? So the question was what's the hip neighborhood in Sydney? And the answer was Melbourne.
Wow. So you got to go to Melbourne. So that the scene is...
I assume there's something behind that joke. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a joke, right? So,
and it makes sense that our correspondent is in Melbourne. That's why we required Nicholas to move there.
Right. So,
we needed somebody right in the middle, in the thick of the cool scene. So that's where he is. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it does make sense in that the bands that we have been running across that we like, I mean, Melbourne is beating Sydney like probably 4-1, right? I mean, we haven't been listening to that many bands from Sydney. You know, one of my old favorite bands, The Church, was from Sydney. But there's a lot more coming out of Melbourne in terms of indie rock lately.
Absolutely.
So do you have a pick from this album?
I mean, I had three or four that I could pick. Should we go with number 7, Cappuccino City?
Sure.
That's a catchy one.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely a good one. Cappuccino City.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ones on this album.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, too. Well, we have to play one more, and I'm down to two really good ones. So maybe you can break the tie.
Okay.
It's going to either be Mainland or How Long.
Oh, I was going to say Mainland. Yes, definitely.
All right. Rolling Blackout's Coastal Fever. The album is called Hope Downs, and I'm endorsing it. It's thumbs up.
Absolutely. So I have a question. This may be sacrilege, and I may be off base here, but to me they sound a lot like British Sea Power. Does that make sense to you? The guitar sound, anyway.
It has been so long since I've listened to British Sea Power, so Craig would have to answer that one. They're both bands that Craig likes, so although Craig doesn't like any of the recent albums by British Sea Power very much. But he's only seen them live like 25 times or something. So
Yeah, I know. I was thinking of the classic ones anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I don't know. There's just something about them that reminded me of that band, although with less of a grandeur kind of effect, you know, more of a down-home version of British Sea Power. But
I think they have, and I don't, you know, this is a non-technical comparison, but I think in terms of vibe, I think they share something with our friends Zebra Hunt and also with a band from a couple of years ago that I loved called Chuck Race, which is sort of that Aussie pop sound, but great. So, yeah.
Chuck Race, also Australian, right?
Right. They've probably had a few picnics with Nicholas also, I believe. Yep. Yeah. Okay, well, we should move on. We got to keep on rocking. So you have two bands to bring us, and I have listened to both of them. I did my homework. So who do you want to start with of those two?
I guess we can start with Awake But Still In Bed.
And that is the name of the band, Awake But Still In Bed. In all small letters and no spaces. Just cram that all together, right?
Yes. I think we can say that they have won the Google war here, because unlike bands like Churches and Waves and Always, yeah, they don't have to spell anything weird in order to show up in a Google search. If you search Awake But Still In Bed, all one word, you get nothing but references to this band.
That's not a bad strategy.
You don't get
strategy.
Anything else in the universe except their content, their Facebook page, their personal diaries, the receipts from their last restaurant meal. I mean, you get it all.
Right. Yeah. There it is. Right. And the title of the album is a classic, right? It's kind of, it harkens back to that that Courtney Barnett album, right? There was a huge long sentence. Remember
right,
that?
Right, right.
So this album is called What People Call Low Self-Esteem is Really Just Seeing Yourself the Way That Other People See You. That's the title of the album. So, yeah, we could get into a big philosophical discussion about whether that's accurate or not, but we'll just take it as their statement.
Yes.
So,
and this is one of those bands that's really, and Petal is the same, actually. It's really a solo project with, you know, with additional personnel.
Mm-hmm.
It's really one woman, but, you know, she puts together a band, sort of not a fixed personnel, but, you know, a changing group for recording and for touring.
Well, this album definitely sounds like a band. You know, it doesn't sound like a bedroom recording. It sounds like somebody's rocking, right?
Oh, yeah.
And when I first sampled it, I thought, this is going to be sleepy bedroom pop. But then pretty quickly, it becomes not necessarily sleepy, right? It really starts to rock.
Yes. Yes, it does. And actually, I think there's a kind of a formula there. I mean, I don't want to be too reductive, but there are a lot of songs where it does start out kind of sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
And then it builds and builds, and then at a certain point the band comes in and it just reaches a crescendo.
Right.
There are a few songs like that. Long about 3 minutes, everything changes. Which if we sample long enough, we'll hear one of those moments.
So what are we starting with?
Well, it's interesting. Obviously, this record is put together in such a way that you're supposed to go in sequence, which we're not going to do, because the first cut is called Opener, and the last cut is called Closer,
mm-hmm.
and there's a cut in the middle called Interlude, so it's all kind of set up that way, right?
Right, yep.
But I think if you wanted to sell someone on the band with one song, I would either pick Closer or Stumble.
Hmm.
What would you be looking at?
I think I'd go with Closer.
Okay.
Awake but still in bed.
Yep, that gives you a sense of what they're like when they really let it rip.
Right. So yeah, you were talking about trying to pick a representative track, and that one's pretty much the all-on rockin'.
Right.
Right. And actually, the other pick that I had was completely all-out rockin', so maybe we got to hold off on that one. And I think we should play Interlude. It's a good one.
Thank you.
Don't you think that sounds like some of the kind of dramatic, hard-on-your-sleeve bands from Scotland and Ireland?
Definitely.
That track in particular, you know, you could just...
You mean like A Frightened Rabbit, for example?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think so. Like, you could imagine that being one of their songs. From San Jose, by the way. Is that considered Silicon Valley? Yeah, I guess it would be.
Yes, although she is originally from Texas.
And her name is Shannon Taylor.
Yes.
How's that for indie rock journalism right there?
Now I have a newsflash for you.
Okay.
Take a wild guess where they're playing tomorrow night.
Not in Madison, I don't think.
Oh, yeah. June 30th.
You're kidding, really?
No.
That's hilarious. And I didn't know that. Where? Does it say where?
I have to look it up again. But, yeah, I was looking up the tour dates to see, oh, are they going to play around here? No, they're not going to play around here. They're going to play everywhere you can think of in this country, but not here. But they are going to play Madison. So.
Let's see. Here we go. It says Ashley's, Madison, Wisconsin, which I've never heard of. I don't even know what that is.
It may be someone's house.
I think it probably is. Wow, a house show. What would they think if an old guy showed up? They'd be like, get out of here, man.
No, I don't actually know if it's a house show. It may be a bar or something. I don't know.
Well, it could be, but I've never heard of it. So we're gonna try to look that up. We're going to find out more about it while we're listening to the next track.
Okay.
So what are we playing next?
Well, you said you had a hard rocking one.
Yeah. Fathers, that's completely rocking, right?
Yes.
But you might have another pick, so it's fine.
I'm sorry?
You can pick whatever you want. That just happened to be the rocking one that was on my list.
Yeah, that was actually a track that I couldn't listen to.
Oh.
It's just so screamy.
Right. She does a lot of screaming on that one.
It is very screamy.
Yeah.
I think track one is more representative of their sound. I don't know. Or maybe it's just the one I like better.
Let's do it. Opener.
Solace and empty feet, the years evolve.
Wow, talk about a buildup.
Yeah, I had to let that one play a little longer so we could get to the screaming part and the rocking part.
That's right, that's right.
Yeah, I did a little research. It's definitely a house show, the thing in Madison, that everyone will have missed by the time this podcast goes up. So that's what you missed on June 30th.
Well, that's what the listeners missed. You could still make plans.
I could, and I would probably feel really out of place. Plus, I'm leaving town the next day, so I think this one's probably not going to happen. But I like the band. Cool band. Awake but still in bed.
Yeah. Yeah. There are songs on here that that are just too... there's just too much screaming. It's just too intense for me, I guess. Yeah. but I really feel like this would be a great band to see live. I feel like they could... they could really get a lot of mileage out of those slow build up songs that end, you know, with a huge rock out
right
at the end.
Yep.
I'd really like to see them. But I won't get a chance because they're not coming here.
Well, when they I don't know. At some point perhaps indie rock stardom awaits and then they can come out to see you or you can see them, you know.
You out there in Kansas City, you're lucky. They will be in Kansas City. Salt Lake, all over. I guess maybe it's a house show tour. I don't know.
Have you ever been to Kansas City?
Yes.
I went there last year, and I thought, this is kind of nice. The downtown was pretty cool, I thought. You never know what to expect of a city before you go there. Well, sometimes you do, but in this case, I didn't. And I thought it was pretty cool. I didn't see any rock and roll, though.
All I really experienced of Kansas City was the barbecue, and I can definitely sign on to that.
Yeah, barbecue is good.
So I just got a text from my son who's on a little adventure that I think you and Barrett would probably get into.
It's
a visit to Kentucky bourbon country.
Ah.
And I guess just, I don't know, visiting distilleries and sampling bourbon.
Sounds good. I'm going to do the Scotch version in about a week.
Well, there you go. He seems to be enjoying it. So.
My wife toured the Maker's Mark distillery in Kentucky and thought it was great. So
that may be one of the stops. I don't know.
Yeah, the Maker's Mark is one of the big ones. And we stopped one time on a family vacation. We stopped at Woodford Reserve. We were driving through, and we were a little bit off. To get to this place, you had to go off the highway by, I don't know, 20 minutes or something. So we're driving through Kentucky. And my wife said, we should stop. We should stop. She's always one of the ones to stop along the way and like see cool things. So I'm like, oh, man. We had three little kids in the van, you know. We're like, really? You really want to do this? Yeah, okay, let's do it. So we got there, like, they closed, I think, at 5. We got there at 4:30, and we just left the kids in the van. And they got into this huge brawl. When we came back out, they were just, like, about to kill each other while we were in there, like, tasting bourbon. But it was funny because there was a tour just ending, and we just walked in there, and I think people kind of just thought we were part of the tour, and they just were offering us samples. So we're like, okay. It was good. It was fun. There, that's my bourbon story.
Well, I don't see any point in going to a distillery unless they're going to give you samples, right?
Exactly. Right. So we'll see. My wife is not the biggest fan. She's more of a bourbon. She likes bourbon more than scotch. And so I'm not sure hopefully she'll just take to the whole character of the whole thing. And whether I don't know if she's going to develop a taste for scotch, but we'll find out. So
right, but at least she can appreciate the whole mythology that's wrapped around.
Right, you know, I would think so. Yeah,
Scotland and the peat and all of that.
Exactly. Right. All the exclusive rights to, you know, like you can't call it scotch if it's not from Scotland, and you know it's kind of cool. So well, maybe your son can do a big bourbon review kind of thing. Rank them all, right?
Yeah, top 10 bourbons of 2018.
Right.
Through a year-end special.
Yeah. We always rank music, but I knew this guy once who just, everything in his life he would rank. He would be like, this is the third best restaurant that I've, of this type that I've eaten at. You know, he would have like this ranking in his head of everything. So,
anyway. Obsessive.
Yeah, it is. Okay.
We would never be that obsessive, right?
No, we're pretty much just easygoing guys. We'd never, yeah. Well... One more band, and that's Petal.
Yes, actually, my son is an even bigger, well, maybe not anymore, an even bigger fan of this band than I am, but an earlier fan. Let's put it that way. we went to see Julian Baker, and this band was opening, and we'd never heard of them, and he was so blown away that he bought the record immediately, you know, right there at the merch table, and never looked back. So, you know, he told me that she had a, I guess, is this her second? Yeah, second album out. And I listened to it, and at first I thought, you know, the first record was seemed like a band record, and this one seemed like more of a solo project. I mean, there are a couple of songs where it's just her and piano, and at first I couldn't get into it, and the more I listened to it, the more it grew on me. So, and at this point, I have to say, if there weren't a Snail Mail record out this year, I mean, we have to stipulate that.
Right.
If there weren't a Snail Mail record out this year, this one would be leading, it would be my leading candidate for record of the year so far.
Wow.
That's how much it grew on me.
We're going to have to see how long it can hold on, right?
Well, yes, hold on in a Snail Mail-less universe, that is.
Right. But, I mean, holding on to number two would be pretty good, too. But
holding on to two, absolutely.
But we still got a long way to go. I haven't done...
Yeah, we have half a year, so...
Usually, this is the time of year that I start with a like some kind of word processing document, like a Google thing, you know, document where I try to put kind of a loose ranking of the year so far. And I haven't done that yet this year, so I don't even know... I've got a few that I think are top 10 contenders, but I don't have... I don't think I have right now a very defined list in my mind. So, the listeners will be surprised along with me.
I guess you're either more organized or more obsessive than I am, because usually I don't even think about that concept until about November. And then I think, what was good this year? And then I sort of have to do a little Googling around to remember what I listened to. And,
right.
You know what I mean?
That makes sense.
It's a whole project at that point.
Part of the reason that I do it is because to remind myself, you know, of how much I liked something at the time, because it's easy to lose track when, you know, you're listening to so much new stuff as the year goes on.
Yes.
So, all right, let's get to this Petal album. It's called Magic Gone. She apparently thought the magic was gone, but you didn't think so necessarily.
No, no. Absolutely not.
So let's play a track.
Your pick.
My pick? I can't do that because I do have a pick, but you should at least have two picks to my one.
No, you should take the first one.
All right, but I think the pick that I was going to make would be maybe too obvious, kind of the popular song. So I'm going to pick my second pick. We're going to go We're going to go a little bit later on the album with the song Shine.
Thank you.
this pedal.
Yes. It's Kylie Lutz.
Did I pick a good track or not?
Oh, yeah. I like that track.
Good.
So I'm wondering what Anurag would think of this record, because she definitely reminds me of Feist, and I know he loves Feist.
I kept thinking this should be an Anurag pick for sure. Also, I don't know, what do you think of this? Lucy Dacus, who's been mentioned
definitely.
On the podcast, and I think there's a real comparison there, too. Well, you're going to have more to say about this because you're so high on it. I think that, for me, I kept wanting more drums. You know, that's why I picked that one track, because probably half of the tracks are like singer-songwriter, the songs are fine, but I just kept wanting to have some drums in there. And maybe if I gave it more time, I would, you know, just the songs themselves would win me over,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think at least some of them would. You know, and of course the other thing would be, I think if you went to see them live, that they probably would have more instrumentation on those songs.
Yeah, that makes sense too.
Yeah. No, I hear that. I hear that. But so, I think I'm basically going on the songs and her voice, and it's pretty powerful. All right. Well, let me pick number two then.
That would be Tightrope.
I saw a strange light in the sky.
The album is called Magic Gone, and yes, that was the track that I would have picked as kind of the hit track.
Well, you got some drums there.
Right.
Yeah, I like that one a lot.
Well, we can play one more. Let's do it.
Well, I think I'd like to try track four, Comfort. And I think she's really working out her inner Joni Mitchell right here.
Now I've seen on the tremble in hand of art.
better fade out before you play the entire thing, yes.
Okay, you've convinced me that that song is good regardless of not having drums. So, yeah.
Definitely no drums there.
Right, that's definitely some good songwriting and everything. It's all good. Pedal.
It's all good. I realize I'm falling into a pattern here, bringing in women-led groups one after another.
You're not the first person to do that. I mean, Chris had, I don't know, 8 out of 10 in his top 10 or something, I remember recently. And Anurag, you know.
Well, we know. He's Anurag. Absolutely.
He's a ladies' man in more ways than one, right?
Yes, absolutely.
one way,
anyway.
I just thought I'd say that. We know Anurag. He's such a cool guy. He's a charmer of all people. I'm going to say that.
Absolutely.
So, well, have we done it justice?
From Melbourne to San Jose to Philly, we've covered everything except Europe.
Yeah, it's a pretty good geographic representation.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we have multiple continents, I think that's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very
much. You know, I speaking of multiple continents, I recently went back and listened to a band that you brought out, which are they from Taiwan? Seisumi?
They are from Singapore.
Singapore, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was just reminded of how great they are. I think they're actually, if I'm not mistaken, I think they actually might be touring the U.S.
Guess we better look that one up then.
I have to look that one up. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I like them a
that's
lot.
That's another one that might stick on the top 10 list for the year.
Yeah. I wouldn't have thought there'd be a band that I could compare to the Ravenettes and Yola Tango, but that's one. So yeah, people should go back and listen to that. It's a good one. Seisumi. All right. Well, I have some editing to do before I leave town. So I suppose we ought to... not that we ever misspoke any words on this podcast, so the editing job shouldn't be too difficult. But regardless, probably time to sign off.
Okay.
So...
Well, have a good trip.
Thank you. We will report. There's got to be some rock and roll somewhere along this trip, I would have to imagine. So...
Well, yeah. You know, don't make any promises that you can't fulfill.
I'm keeping it vague.
You're hoping there's...
Right, so. Exactly. Yep. All right. So as I've mentioned already, we have another podcast recorded for next week. It's a Grant's Underground. It's another good one. So stay tuned for that. And then after that, everything, all bets are completely off. Anything could happen.
Well, yes. It's summer in North America, and it's about 100 degrees, and anything could happen.
It is almost 100 degrees here, actually, today. People don't think of... People probably think, well, if you're not in the United States, you don't even know where Wisconsin is, right? Except we tell you that it's near Chicago. But it's not a place that people probably think of as being hot, but does sometimes get pretty hot in the summer. Today, the high was in the mid-90s, and the heat index, which, you know, is the thing that includes the humidity, is like 100 and something. So,
right.
Yeah, pretty hot.
And for our friends overseas, I think it's like 35 or something, right?
I don't want to vouch for that math, although Craig did a great job of translating it just by feel recently.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. So, all right, we'll talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Night.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast using iTunes or any other podcast app. All of our podcasts are also available directly on our webpage, willsband.net. You can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter @willsband. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.